All right, so this is our October the 4th of 2023 School Health Advisory Council SHAC meeting. I'll write down who we have in attendance. I know we're missing a few people. We were also, we're going to have two students that will join us at times because one of the last things we're going to talk about is bullying committee that's now required, and we're tying that in with our SHAC committee. The state's allowing us to do that because we're trying to, as they're putting on more committees that we have, they do allow some combining. So especially it's helpful with small schools. All right. So you're the only one that hasn't been on a SHAC before. So I was just going to go over a little bit of the scope and purpose, or scope and sequence of SHAC. No, scope and purpose of the SHAC. One of the things we have to look at is our PE, not necessarily our PE curriculum, but making sure we're doing what we're supposed to, which we've done that several years ago. We have the same PE coach, Brenda Grieben, that's doing PE. Nothing's changed there, so there's nothing that needs to be added or taken away. Nothing addressing PE from the state of Texas this year. And when we have committees like this and a lot of school things, when we have a legislative session like we did, and they're still going to have another special session, we always seem to get a lot of new mandates on different things. And so for the SHAC, there are some, but typically we'll get an update on anything health related from Mrs. Holt. Our cafeteria manager also drives an afternoon bus route, so she can't be at the meeting, but I'm in there talking to her all the time, so we'll go over that. That's one thing that's the typical of what we do. Health curriculum, we already last year adopted something that we're using at the elementary, going to be using. We hadn't gotten that started this year. And then we also have some health teaks that are just tied in through our science classes at junior high and high school. We don't offer a high school or junior high health course. We're not required to. It can be a local credit, but it's not a state required credit for graduation. We just do that through our science classes. Some new things that have been brought up. So the SHAC must recommend curriculum on the dangers of opioids, including fentanyl. Okay, and I have some information we'll look at on that in just a little bit. Districts must provide annual instruction on fentanyl abuse prevention and drug poisoning awareness to students grades 6 through 12. Substance use prevention is also required in K through 8 health teaks and in the high school health course for what we have to provide. So we'll be working on the teaks, putting in that with the lower elementary grades, K through, well, one thing we need to discuss, and we can discuss in here, is where do we want to start it at? You know, they say K through 8 health teaks. What grade are your kids?
First,
okay. And first. So y'all have an idea because they just came out of kindergarten. So in a minute we'll discuss that and y'all can maybe share some ideas of appropriate for that age group on substance abuse. And there are some resources out there, and you know, just because y'all are like, well, I don't know, we might could do this. We're going to look at resources that are provided to help us with that. But part of this committee is getting input from parents in the community. Vaping, e-cigarettes is to be included in the substance use prevention. So those are some things that came out of this session. Some other things. Dylan Moore, there was a big push on the fentanyl. Am I saying that right? That's the way I've heard it pronounced.
Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead and share a little bit of what the communication?
Yes. So at one of our trainings, we were told they did pass SB 629, which is now schools have to have Narcan, which is, or they have to have an opioid antagonist on hand. That's going to be required. So schools will now have to have Narcan in the schools. And so I have already, I think that started September 1 was when they were putting it in. But you have to have it by January, I think. Yeah. So anyway, I've already gotten the standing order for the medication, and I've already received the medication. It'll just be getting a policy written in our district, and then I'll do trainings with, and it's not really elementary so much as it's, I think it's sixth grade and up. But since we're a combined campus, we will have it at all, you know, at the elementary and up here at the high school, and then maybe even in the coaches area. So, and we'll train all the, we haven't really talked about it yet, but whoever would probably be the most appropriate to maybe possibly have to administer Narcan, I would train those on what to see and then how to give it.
And the policy is in the process. TASB is Texas Association of School Boards, and they typically provide legal documentation on policy. So they provide a legal policy and
they're legal, and then we kind of
yeah, our attorney
copy
help.
It for local and
yeah
then,
our attorney then, helps with the local and part of the training suicide prevention has to be included on that awareness of local school and community resources and any processes involved in accessing those resources. Which for us, most of our local resources on stuff like that comes out of San Angelo, and we're in communication with, you know, Tom Green County, various ways, all the way from county commissioner to the emergency manager is on our safety and security committee. Obviously, the sheriff's department, we have a good relationship with them, and then the health education, which we mentioned a while ago, has to include information on that. All right. They've designated the month of October as Fentanyl Poisoning Awareness Month. I've already met with our new student council sponsor, and we're looking at, you know, Red Ribbon Week is always in the month of October, I think third full month, and we're going to tie some things in there. Tie this into Red Ribbon Week, since that's the focus of Red Ribbon Week is drug abuse. And one of the big differences between drug abuse and substance abuse in this case with the fentanyl is with fentanyl, you don't know. It's not like you're going out there and trying to illegally buy it. You know, it's on stuff and they don't know it. So that's going to be a big push of the instruction on fentanyl. So I'm going to go over this and then I'll pass it around and let everybody just take a. I did not make two copies of this. There's some of it that's in color. This provides lesson plans. It's called Dead on Arrival Lesson Packet. Protect Texas, Stop Drugs. And, you know, Dead on Arrival. Remember, this is grades 6 through 12 for this part. But the emphasis there is that it just takes a little bit. And you don't know. So this has information like some lesson plans that can be used. It has a video, which that's what we're going to start with during the Red Ribbon Week, is the video for grades 6 through 12. And just kind of an introduction, letting them see what's going on from somebody else other than just us. So once they've seen that, and hopefully they'll get a sense of not necessarily urgency, but importance of this and how they have to be careful with what they might take from a friend or somebody they think's a friend. And then we'll be able to turn around and have some follow-up doing some of these lessons with them. And so pretty much what we've talked about is what's in here. Just a lot more detail. I have a drug fact sheet, and I will print some of those out in color for the kids when we get to that point. just so they have it. So looking at the lower grades, and I haven't looked at resources yet. We just, I think last week, are getting emails, working through that, and I started looking at the stuff last week. So as far as what they have for the lower grades to put into the health techs, we haven't gotten that far yet, but I do want to get some input on from all of you, the lower grades, like K and 1, how we would want to approach that as far as substance abuse without teaching them more than they need to know at that point, but yet still realizing, you know, at some point, at that age, we've at least got to get the idea of foreign substances that we don't want. You know, I don't know, do we tie that into, you know, food? You know, how we talk a little bit about certain foods we don't need to eat, and input from any of y'all.
Maybe like a poison control, you know, the kids know. You could tie it in with poison control, where I know I've seen posters where they've done, you know, like the Fabuloso thing looks a lot like the grape juice. And so, you know, I know there's not a generalized substance that's going to be, you could, I mean, they're made in all different forms, so you can't really ever tie it to a certain thing, but you could at least use the poison control idea where, you know, there's certain things.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree, because I think for mine, if I associated it with food not to eat, I don't think it that serious.
Yeah. That's why I'm getting input here.
Yeah. I think especially at their age level, I think it's kind of important to know that there's medicines that some people take, and that if somebody else were to take it, affects differently. I don't know if y'all have seen the Instagram video or reel where the dad's explaining to the kid, he puts like an Alka-Seltzer in water and it doesn't do anything, so it's meant for that person who's taking it, but then he puts it in vinegar and it explodes because that person, their body didn't need that medicine and it acted differently.
Some people have to take medicine, other people shouldn't. Okay. Anything else? All right. So the bullying part that's tying into this now. One thing we've tried to do here at school, at least when I've dealt with stuff the last 7 years now, the Texas School Safety Center, they do a lot of things for school safety. And the Texas Education Agency relies a lot on them. And y'all can go to their website, Texas School Safety Center, and they have a lot of toolkits and resources for schools and parents. We'll be using some of those for, because we have to put stuff out to parents also about fentanyl and that. And they provide a great document that I use when I have accusations of bullying. And so I talk to the kids, and I'm talking to the kids, and if a parent's involved, I'm talking to parent, and then I have this. And basically it divides behaviors into three things. The worst case being bullying, and that can be one of two things. One, it can be a major single act of something. And the example I always use is picking up the kid upside down, giving a swirly in the toilet. I mean, that's just something that comes to my mind from years ago. But there are other things it could be. Constant pattern of behaviors. So the same thing occurring over and over. It's been addressed, and yet it keeps occurring. So if we back up from that, we have what most kids deal with is peer conflict. And that's just conflict between those of the same age, same grade level. And that is, you know, you just sometimes you have personalities and you have conflict because of that. You have it even with adults, it's peer conflict. In between the two of them, you have being mean. And being mean is somebody, they're not singling out a certain person, they're just mean to everybody, or they're mean to a lot of kids. And it's just because that's the route they've chosen to take their personality. They just are a mean person. I've never watched the movie Mean Girls, so I can't relate to that, if that's what we're talking about here. But I know a lot of times girls more than boys at certain ages are mean to each other. It goes past peer conflict to being mean to each other. So we have peer conflict, being mean, and we have bullying. We're not immune to bullying. We've probably had some beginning instances of it. Usually parents are good at contacting us, and me and the counselor, and we are able to address things and put a stop to it when it's at the earliest stages or at peer conflict and being mean. We're not immune to it because even stuff that happens in bigger schools, I mean, I hear stuff that happens at big schools that it is bullying. We're not immune to it because now with social media, kids in small schools are just as open to anything as kids from a big school. You can't hide anymore in a rural school and keep them away from everything because of social media and cell phones and technology. So we have more of that that we have to be aware of. And we try to do a good job of when we're informed of stuff, getting on top of it quickly. You know, obviously the most severe cases of bullying, the reason there's such a push out of the state legislature, the most severe cases, there's the bullying that causes that person to not value their life. And we don't want anything like that. So we try to be very preactive, proactive, instead of reactive on stuff. We've had a couple people come in. We had a, I think she was a sergeant with San Angelo Police Department, come out a couple years ago and talk about social media and that. We've had a couple sheriffs, Tom Green County Sheriff's Department members come out, talk about social media. Last year we had Justin Baker with Department of Public Safety come out. And that one of all the ones, and we even had somebody come out and do like anti-vaping. And the one that Justin Baker did last year, and he's talked to our kids before, but this one, he was focusing on sexting and how people try to get into that. So he wasn't focusing on the end result. He was focusing on educating the kids. And we were his first time he'd ever done that presentation. He was designing it more for parents, but he agreed to do it for the kids so he could practice. And I said, it was effective because we had kids not telling on each other, but informing an adult, hey, I'm concerned because just one, I'm not mentioning names, we had underage students portraying themselves as 18 or older on social media. And so we were able to contact parents and let them be aware. But we had a lot. We had kids going through their telling us that they were going through their social media, deleting people that they really didn't know, because that's one of the things he talked about. So that was a very good assembly that we had there. So we do different things like that, focusing on the students' mental health, their well-being, and trying to address as many things as we can. It is a challenge sometimes because there's a lot of different things you could have assemblies on, and including safety and security, while still trying to teach them and prepare them for a state-mandated test. So we do the best we can in trying to get people out here and talk about things that need to be addressed. Any questions about bullying or any concerns or anything? Okay. So as soon as she finishes looking at that, 'to use that, which that is a resource from Texas Education Agency. Their page, I clicked on that to get that. We'll give her time to finish, and we just need a motion, a second, and a vote to use that, since it is a requirement coming out of SHAC. Anything in general, just school health advisory council, anything that parents, y'all would like to see addressed or concerns you might have? Okay.
Go ahead. The one thing that I've noticed, switching in new year, so my son has allergy to mango and pineapple personally. And in first grade, they have snack week and things like that. I just think maybe it should be aware, no known allergies in the class or the paper that's sent home to parents. Just to make sure that the bases are covered. I don't know if there's other kids in class. I did end up reaching out to the teacher. There wasn't any, but just in general, I don't know if there is any other food allergies, but it was just a little concerning that it wasn't made known on the list.
Okay.
And I do have that in our sender. Okay. And so they can click on it and it'll say what they're allergic to, and the cafeteria knows too, because they get that form.
So we just need to make sure.
So I think the teachers just need to be more, like they probably were just sending out a general, a tape, a week, whatever.
Right, right.
And didn't go back to look and see what happened to the allergies too.
So I can address that. So. I can send out an email to teachers just reminding them, hey, check in the sender.
Yeah, because I put student. There's a little red plus, and
I'll
just click on it, and it'll say.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Put on there that he's sensitive to dyes, and so I know Miss McLaughlin put at the bottom every time she sends out the snack thing, you know, please no food dyes in any of the snacks.
Overlooked.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
It was
yeah.
just
it was
something
just
that
just
was overlooked. I just wanted to bring it up.
No, that's fine. All right.
I'm going to take a motion to accept that.
Dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival. Lesson okay. Packet from TEA for our PEEPS. Is that really our education?
Yes, for grades 6 through 12.
This formula, does somebody have to second it? Okay,
yeah.
I'll second it.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
All right. If there's nothing else, then we will adjourn. We will meet again probably November or early December. We do two of these per